Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're looking back at what is really going on in North Korea, the persecution of the citizens, and the persecution of Christians is taking place. And they have these camps called camps or gulags, where they're actually taking the citizens. If you're a Christian, you're really going to go there, and they abuse you. And so they don't have any pictures from that because
it's a closed state.
It's a closed state. But the prisoners that were there, who got out, did sketches of what was taking place right there. And it's horrific things taking place. And so we're going to do two things. You'll see running behind us those sketches. And I want to tell you that it's definitely parental guidance suggested. You might not want your kids to see it. But we have to understand, why are we sending our soldiers over there now? Why are we talking about ending this regime? Why are we talking about this? Because of what we're about to talk about is taking place there. And God is a just God. God doesn't want that to happen to the human race. The Christians that are being persecuted there is way worse than that. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to see these images. These are sketches that were sketched by previous people who were being persecuted, citizens of North Korea who were being persecuted inside the gulags or the camps that are there. And so we're going to read about it. What the imagery you're going to see behind us as we're reading this, as John's reading this, is the sketches done by the former prisoners who were in there. It's just shocking. But so prepare yourself. John, what did the Washington Post, was it?
Actually, it's a Christian Post.
Yeah.
Very interesting article that really begins to uncover a lot of the things that are happening in North Korea.
And they compared them to Nero, right, in Rome?
Well, one of the authors here, you know, compares the persecutions happening to Christians. It's right on course with what happened with Nero. And if you remember Nero, he was actually putting Christians on torches, on
poles.
Well,
he burned down half the city and blamed it on the Christians.
Yeah.
He had a garden, and he put the Christians on a pole and set them on fire and lit his gardens.
So that he can see at night his garden.
Right,
this is what he did to Christians, dipped them in oil.
Right.
So they're making this comparison. But according to a prominent human rights activist, Greg Scarlatu, he said during a Capitol Hill briefing Wednesday, they convened by the religious freedom advocacy group International Christian Concern, activists and North Korean defector extensively detailed the grave human rights abuses Christians and all others who live under the rule of the communist Kim regime endure. And they urge lawmakers...
So he's a defector and he's writing about it.
Well, no, not him.
He interviewed a defector.
Correct. He interviewed a defector. They spoke to lawmakers. They're having a policy day on Capitol Hill.
This is horrific what's taking place to the Korean people. I mean...
Yeah, so they're urging lawmakers to support a resolution to reauthorize a North Korean Human Act of 2004. And that act, you know, they want to reauthorize it because it's run out. Well, some senators were there. They spoke as well.
Senator Ted Cruz is one
Senator
of those,
Ted
right?
Ted Cruz,
okay.
James Lankford of Oklahoma, Chris Smith of New Jersey, and a few others.
Uh-huh.
But this is what came out. They said the human rights advocates with years of experience in dealing with North Korea outlined how the Kim regime has nearly wiped out Christianity in the closed-off, isolated nation.
They almost wiped out Christianity in this closed-off nation. That's what's going on.
Yeah.
And you'll notice what we're seeing here is that, you know, the Kim family, three Kims, he's a third-generation Kim.
Yes. That grandfather, father, and now son.
They're setting themselves up saying they're God, and their people
yeah.
are supposed to worship them. But the thing they're in competition with is God. And so they're trying to get all of God's children out of the nation so that they would worship him
yes.
and not worship God.
Yeah.
And that's what you're seeing, the persecution of Christians.
Yeah, okay. Because early on there was a thriving Christian community. You're going to find out more, but it's wiped away. As the tragedy of Korean separation continues, after almost seven decades, one remembers that the northern half of the Korean peninsula was once the cradle of the Korean Presbyterian Church.
So think about it. So this was actually the epicenter of the Korean Presbyterian Church.
There were so many Christians in North Korea that it was called, the nickname for the capital was called East Jerusalem East.
Wow.
There was that many Christians.
And so you see the enemy coming in now and through the Kim family and trying to destroy the people. But his competition is not with man, it's with God.
It's with God.
Yeah.
So Greg Scarlett Chu, he leads this Committee for Human Rights in North Korea. He has led the publication of at least 24 reports and books on the Kim's regimes, the human rights abuses, and said during a panel discussion about these things with other human rights experts. Now, also in the article also states that prior to the communist takeover, the capital city used to be known as Jerusalem of the East. Mm. He continued that in North Korea, Christianity was once a way of life, with two churches on the same street corner being a common sight.
It sounds like America today.
Yeah.
The two churches on the same street corner is the way of life, that we're a Judeo-Christian nation. But you really, they're sending us warnings now because we're in the early stages. If we don't wake up, that's the ultimate goal of the adversary.
Yeah. Absolutely. So Scarlett Chu continues to explain.
This is the Post, right? Christian Post.
Correct. It was started in 1946 when the Provisional People's Committee for North Korea forced the closure of churches with congregations that did not meet a predetermined required number of people.
So the government started setting rules. We would say that's a violation of our First Amendment because
we have the Constitution.
Because we have the Constitution. The government shall make no laws concerning the church. And this is why. Because all of a sudden they started minimalizing the church. And we had two churches on every street corner, basically, he said, right? And so when they started making laws, they started to control. Once they can put laws on something, they can control. If you have the power to tax, you have the power to destroy. If you have the power to make laws over something, you have the power to end something.
But they saw it as an extreme threat. They had to get rid of it. You'll see.
Because they wanted to be God. They wanted to be set up as God. Yes. I mean, this is what they're saying.
But this is common for all dictators. This is happening with Pol Pot as well in Cambodia, right?
Yeah, but I don't know. But he said God is dead. This guy's saying he is God.
Yeah.
He's saying he is God. Okay.
Well, the committee began to forbid Protestant and Catholic in-house assemblies and made Sunday a work day and Monday a rest day.
So the groundwork of this beginning, this hub of Christian activity in this nation began with putting laws on the church and then said that you cannot gather in houses. It has to be done in a public in this amount of place. So they're against churches meeting in houses.
Yes.
You couldn't do that. And then made Sunday a work day.
Right.
So they're trying to busy get...
Get people busy, disrupt the flow of society.
This is how, how it ended up. You're looking at sketches right now behind us of the tragedy of previous inmates that have been in these persecuted camps in North Korea. God's wanting to end this. Obviously, he's like, this is it. And that's how Satan hates you. I mean, you're creating the image and the likeness of God. And when he sees you, you remind him of God. And he has been rejected by God because of what he did. He set himself up as God. Remember in the very beginning, he says, I will exalt my throne above his throne. And he made that decision, and that's when he got cast down as he is now. And now you're looking at the same battle spiritually happening, but it's manifesting through people like Kim and others there.
I don't know who said it, but someone said absolute power corrupts absolutely. And this is something that you're seeing in this regime over three generations.
We'll be right back.
Millions of dollars will be spent for cards, flowers, candy, or jewelry celebrating Valentine's Day, to say nothing of the estimated 6 million plus people expecting a marriage proposal.
But did you know the Library of Congress suggests the biblical book Song of Songs as a Valentine for the ages?
Song of Songs was one of the first texts printed with the advent of printing in the 15th century, a popular theme for artists and printers. And the Library of Congress boasts of shelves filled with goodly treasures new and old. Quoting Song of Songs 7:13.
One of those treasures is a beautiful example of microcalligraphy, a technique using minuscule script to create images. In this case, a small heart-shaped image with the text of all 8 chapters of the Song of Songs, produced in 1920 in Germany.
Engage with the Bible, the book of all books.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
You know, a lot of people want to abide with the Lord, but they just don't have a plan to do it. You can request that plan today at iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We are looking at the tragedy, what's going on behind the walls, behind the camps in North Korea. I mean, Germany was horrific. This is worse than Germany that's going on, it looks like. The persecution that's taking place, and we're going to have, and make sure you stay tuned to this program, because we're going to have in this program in a little bit actual witnesses, former prisoners and prison guards sharing what took place there, and you're gonna hear firsthand knowledge. And what you're about to see behind us while we're finishing this article with the Christian Post, I want to prepare you. It's parental God has suggested, but there's no pictures being taken of the persecution in these camps. So former prisoners have written sketches. And so what you're seeing are sketches of people trying to communicate what is going on. And you'll hear them firsthand talk about it a little bit later in this program. But we're reading from the Christian Post about what's happening inside of North Korea. It used to be a hub of the Presbyterian Church. Who would ever thought it would have come to something like this?
Jerusalem East.
And now look what the enemy's doing to that particular region. God's wanting to free that up, I believe. What else did they say in the Christian Post?
So just to kind of connect the dots here, you know, we were talking about what this regime was trying to do was just remove every existence of the Christian Church. God.
Yeah, because he wants to set himself as God.
Well, he is setting himself as God. That's
he's saying he
to
is,
to those
obviously.
People, of course, right. You know. And the people are worshiping him. But the article...
If they don't, they go to camps.
Yeah, they're tortured.
This is torture stuff, okay.
And so the article continues to say that the committee...
By the way, you're seeing some of these images. They're comparing it to Auschwitz and some others. So you're seeing, you're going straight from Auschwitz and some of these images, and then you're going to North Korea. So you're seeing the two comparisons. And what the author was saying was, it's the same thing that was going on, the persecution taking place.
Yeah. The committee began to forbid Protestant and Catholic in-house assemblies and made Sunday a work day and Monday a rest day. And this was just the beginning, he added. Under the pretext that the sound of religious songs disturbed public life, that same committee asked churches to relocate.
So it says you're a noise disturbance. Yeah. You're a worship of God. Think about it. How much the adversary hates worship. Hmm. When you worship God, they're manifesting that reality that if I have control, I'm going to shut down your worship.
Yes.
It was bugging him that people were singing praises to God.
You know, this advocacy group that's sharing the awareness of the persecuted church, they for the first time listed the United States as a country now that is open to persecuting
Christians.
The
beginning stages, just like they began. Because that was like East Jerusalem, that's what they called it, was such so of God, Judeo-Christian country, and now look what's taking place. So it was a great place before in regards to the church to where it's ended up now.
Okay. Yeah, the reason being is they were forcing the church out from the public square into the private, you know, just...
Well, they wouldn't even let you meet in the houses. And but remember this too, that anytime somebody wants communism and socialism, this is where it ends up. Because the next thing you're talking about is the Communist Party, right? Agitators
were inserted into Christian communities and church assemblies. They began criticizing the sermons as being unprogressive.
Paul warned about these. You know, the Apostle Paul, he said, watch out. He says, those that come amongst you, they're not of you. Mm-hmm. And obviously they begin to infiltrate the churches, and people probably thought there's just an agitated member, we just need to calm them down. But what was really going on is what you're seeing these images behind us, that's what the enemy had in mind. He wanted to destroy the church. So you got to really you need to get a tight relationship with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. You should know if a wolf's amongst you.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said, wolves have come amongst you, they're not even to spare the body. And that's what they were doing there, right? They sent in agitators, okay.
It was 1962 that then-leader Kim Il-sung told the regime security agency that we cannot move toward a common society with religious people, according to Scarlett
Chan. So people who have religious beliefs were getting in the way of their plans.
Yeah, their agenda.
That reminds me exactly what Hillary Clinton was saying. She wanted to change fundamental religious beliefs. That's the same thing they're doing. As a matter of fact, do we have that play that? This is Hillary Clinton saying that fundamental religious beliefs need to be changed. And that's exactly what they're saying in North Korea.
Deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs have to be changed.
Let's hear that one more time. Think about this. Let's hear that one more time.
Deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs have to be changed.
So let's go back and read that again. Let's go back and read that again right here. He said specifically,
it was in 1962 that then leader Kim Il-sung told the regime security that we cannot move toward a common society with religious people.
So what she was saying is that you, the same thing, you got to get rid of.
Got to get rid of them.
Christians. You got to get rid of religious people who have faith. You can't. You got to let government be God. This is, you know, North Korea has turned into where government has become God, the leader of that government.
There's many people in this nation that want to see the same thing happen.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. And a lot of times they don't understand that that's the goal of the enemy. It might not be your goal.
Right.
But that's the goal of darkness. And eventually, you know, sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. And obviously, look at this. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. Mm. And so we have to turn back to God as a nation, right?
Yeah. It continues to say in this article, this is why we have to put on trial and punish those who hold positions of deacon or higher in the Protestant or Catholic churches.
So this literally started talking about positions in the church.
Yes.
Well, people get rid of titles and hurry them. I don't need a title. But that's what they started going specifically out the authority in the church.
Yes,
went straight
targeting
in
them.
Yes.
Scarlett Chu continues to explain that in 1948, about one quarter of the North Korean population was of some religious belief.
But 25%. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. But statistical data today shows that number is now below 1%.
So it went from 25% of a population now lower than 1%. And that's not even documented now because it's getting so...
Yeah, so watered down.
And people are going in this environment, risking their lives to spread the gospel. It's amazing what's taking place, you know?
The article continues to say that like other communist leaders, as mentioned earlier, Kim Il-sung and the Kim's regime has rejected religion as the opium of the people.
God's gun and gold. You remember somebody talking about that? That they run to God, their guns and gold. And it's like, you have to, that sound, if you don't know that there is a God, that doesn't probably make sense to you. Mm-hmm. But if you understand God is real, He exists,
That's right.
He created everything, He holds everything together, and that you're made in the image and the likeness of God. And of course, you run into your Creator. Of course, you go to Him and to in times of this kind of all
it's
these
relationships.
Kind of, it's a personal relationship. It's not opium. Opium's opium. You know, God is it's a personal relationship with through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so, but they realize
something's happening
to this population.
Something is happening.
Because they're okay. We're doing things to them, but they're okay. We're persecuting, but they're okay. We got to get rid of their faith.
Which has scared them to realize there's something to, it's
right.
God.
Right.
You can't mess with God.
Right. And I'm sure they couldn't figure out. It's like, I punched him in one cheek, but he turned the other
cheek.
Right. He asked
him
to go 1 mile, but he went 2 miles. This thing is like an opium. It's like, and it's like the love of God. I mean, they probably, no telling how many rewards this church in Korea is going to have in North Korea because they've gone through the worst
untold
persecution.
Untold suffering, really.
Yeah.
Well, the article continues to state that North Korean society is split up into social classes in which every single North Korean resident is classified according to their political risk to the Kim regime. According to Liberty in North Korea, about 27% of North Korean population is assigned to the hostile class, the lowest class, which consists of political dissidents of the communist regime, religious citizens, capitalists, and other descendants.
So literally 27% has been marginalized and said these are
troublemakers
because they have faith.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, you're going to hear firsthand reports from former prisoners and former guards in these camps. And remember, when you're seeing the news and you're hearing us talk about aircraft carriers are off the coast in the China Sea of North Korea, imagine you being inside these camps. That we got to have empathy for the human race that's being hurt and injured and murdered, and it's just horrific what's taking place over there. But listen, we're going to go to this break. We're going to come back, and you're going to hear firsthand from guards and from former prisoners in these camps.
We'll be right back.
Let's talk today about two kinds of children that are seen in every school classroom. Those in the first category are by nature rather organized individuals who just care about details. They take the learning process very seriously and they assume full responsibility for assignments given. To do poorly on a test would depress them for several days. Parents of these children don't have to monitor their progress to keep them working. It's their way of life, and it's consistent with their temperaments. In the second category of children are the boys and girls who just don't fit in with the structure of the classroom. They're sloppy, disorganized, and flighty. They have a natural aversion to work, and they love to play. They can't wait for success, so they hurry on without it. Like bacteria that gradually become immune to antibiotics, the classic underachievers become impervious to adult pressure. They withstand a storm of parental protest every few weeks, and then when no one's looking, they slip back into apathy. They don't even hear the assignments being given in school, and they seem not to be embarrassed in the least when they fail to complete them. If they graduate at all, it's not going to be cum laude, it's thank you, Laudy. We really should talk more about these disorganized children because God sure made a lot of them. They drive their parents to distraction, and their unwillingness to work can turn their homes into World War III. I have some suggestions that may help, and we'll discuss a few of them tomorrow.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
What are the numbers? Do you hear some numbers?
Well, yes.
Christian Post?
Yes. Christian Post is saying in this article that despite the lack of access to North Korea, there are believed to be at least 120,000 people who are being tortured, beaten, and forced to do hard labor in North Korean prison camps right now. And in 2014, the United Nations reported that hundreds of thousands of prisoners have died in North Korean gulags. I mean, this is
it's a tragedy.
Horrific.
As a matter of fact, you're about to hear right now, this is, you know, parental guidance has suggested, but this is straight from former prisoners and guards who are in these camps and them telling you exactly what takes place. Brace yourself, but we need to know this because when you're seeing the battle and we're seeing, you know, standing up for what's right and preventing this nuclear war from taking place, there's also persecuted citizens all over that whole country and realize they're about to be potentially set free. Take a look.
It is a place that would make your hair stand on end. No words would help you to understand what this place is like. Kim Young-soon spent 9 years in the political prison camp Yodak. From sunrise to sunset, you work. There are no set working hours. You get up at 3:30 a.m. to report at work at 4:30 a.m., and then you work until dark. You need to walk 12 to 14 miles to get to the field where you plow. A former prison official. You'd be expected to walk the distance and then plow the field. You would have to stay awake until midnight as well. There are meetings going until midnight. Four women had to plow with an ox cart, two in front and two at the back, carrying a ton of soil in the cart. We couldn't do this at a walking pace either. We had to run. Ji-young Park fled North Korea. She was detained after being arrested in China and then sent to a labor camp. Once you get to Ansan, women will go through a blood test to check for pregnancy and any sexually transmitted diseases. They would force abortion after the pregnancy test. Pregnant women get sent to labor camps to carry loads up and down the hills, which cause miscarriages. The shortage of food is the biggest problem in the North Korean military. Civilians and the military suffer from food shortage. Starvation is the biggest problem. Julim Kim, he was a former military captain. I saw piles of bodies who have died from starvation in public places. If you eat food in less than 10 minutes, you excrete all. In the third degree of malnutrition, the anus opens up and eating does not help. You cannot save this person. After the anus is open for a week, the body swells up. Then ooze comes out from the sweat pores. It swells up huge. And the ooze comes out. That's become a reality in North Korea. People got so hungry, they would eat anything, from dog food and cattle feed left out at other people's houses, and beans left on the ground. I've heard of that some people ate beans and maize kernels stuck in an animal dung. Guilt by association. The guilt by association system applies to the family members. I may be the culprit, but the other six members of my family are forced to go with me to the prison camp without knowing the charge. I have escorted a father and son to Camp 16. Then the whole family was sent to the camp. Then the relatives would be sent to Camp 11. That is so-called exterminating the three generations of a family. My mother and father, who were over 70 years old, my 9-year-old daughter and my 3 sons, who were 7, 4, and 1. When my parents starved to death, I didn't have coffins for them. I wrapped their bodies with straw, carried them on my back, and went to bury them myself. And the children, I lost all my family. Public executions. The first public execution I had to witness happened to be my classmate's brother-in-law. The first bullet hits the head strap, and the brain and blood spatters. People scream in horror at this sight. The crowd roars. It is so gruesome. You instinctively close your eyes or turn your head away on subsequent gunshots. When all the gunshots have died down, you look and the body is heaped onto the ground. You can't sleep after witnessing it. You're haunted by the nightmarish image in dreams.
This is such a tragedy in what's taking place potentially as we speak right now. And so when you think about two American aircraft carriers with all their squadron out around them saying, listen, this has to stop. The time of strategic patience is over, according to the vice president and what he said. And it just has to be dealt with. And so it's not this political stuff people are talking about. It's human beings being abused and killed and several generations. And Jesus said, you know, when I was in prison, you came and visited me. When I was hungry, you fed me. Well, this is a whole people group that's being persecuted, just like it was in the time of Germany, what was being done to the Jews and to the not German enough folks. And that, you know, we are in that generation. Yes. What are we going to do with North Korea? So we need to pray for North Korea. We need to pray for our soldiers that are out there. We got to pray for justice.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.